how to maneuver through this. And it's nice. I can control a lot of what you're hearing out there up here. And so we're working through some of that. But it is good to be here and good to be in the Lord's house and thankful for His blessings.
Amen.
Amen. Thankful for His blessings. Galatians chapter number 4. And we will begin looking here in verse number 19. Actually, we're just going to read verse 19 for sake of time and give you a little introduction, all right? Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 19. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Paul, of course, is the one that's writing here to the church at Galatia. And this is what he has to say. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 19. Paul says this, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." Let's read it one more time. "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, unto Christ be formed in you." Now, you may not understand this title right off the get-go, but you will once we get through introduction and I explain why we've read what we've just read. But I want to deal with a subject that I believe needs to be dealt with way more than it probably is. And I'd like to preach this morning on this thought, how to love people who have chose the wrong path. That's hard to do sometimes. You can act like it's easy and everybody's, you know, mastered that art. But you let somebody do you wrong or go contrary to what you've invested in them or how you've trained them, mom and dad, or preachers. I know you have, you know, you're not pastors, but if God ever lets you pastor, you invest in people and they go plumb stupid. And it's easy to say I love you, but it's another thing to really do that. What about people that do you wrong? You going to love them the way you ought to love them? And so Paul, in the book of Galatians, gives us the example, and we've got scripture, for how to love people who have chose the wrong path. Let's read that verse one more time. "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again." Now we know this, Paul don't give birth. He's talking about how he is laboring and compares it to a woman giving childbirth. Now, you know, if you're really going to love somebody the way the Word of God wants us and commands us to love them, listen, real love brings forth real pain. You're going to suffer. If you're going to love people, you're really going to have to learn what it is to suffer. You're going to have to learn what it is to go through things that you don't necessarily like or things that you don't even agree with. You're going to go through a process of pain to really love people. And so if the Lord will help us, that's what we'll preach on this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the grand opportunity to stand one more time. Now, God, here I am. I'm more undeserving today than I was yesterday. But God, you've called me. And Lord, you have placed me. And God, you have put me here for these people at this appointed time. Now, Lord, I sure don't want to fail you, but God, I don't want to fail them. And I don't want to let you down, but God, I don't want to let them down. And so, Lord, if you'd help me, God, to be able to preach the Word of God, give me power and unction, Lord, and fill me full, the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, to be able to preach in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, please, one more time, come by our way and do that work that only you can do. Lord, within myself and by the good grace of God, I have the ability to reach the ears of every man, woman, boy, and girl. But God, only you can speak to their hearts. So Lord, please do so. And for what you do in this place and for these people at this appointed time, we'll sure thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name and for His sake, and all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Again, I plan on giving you the introduction more than anything because I believe there's much to say on this subject about how to love people who have chose the wrong path. Can I say this morning, it's here in our text where the Apostle Paul has once again begin writing to this church of Galatia, and we find that Paul makes it very clear that they have made a conscious decision to take the wrong path. And my friend, they've forsaken every ounce of doctrine and every ounce of truth that Paul has given to them. Paul has invested in this church of Galatia. Can I say this morning that, my friend, if we were to go back, and we'll look periodically, but if you were to go all the way back to chapter number 1 this morning and follow the scriptures to chapter number 4, here's what you'll find. My friend, you'd find that Paul is doing everything he can to get these Galatians to understand the right path and the wrong path. You know the gospel that Paul preached. Paul's our pattern. He's our preacher. God sent Paul to the Gentiles. Somebody ought to say amen. Y'all know your Bible and Bible doctrine. Paul's been sent to preach the gospel. What's that, preacher? Well, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul has preached to the church at Galatia. But if you go back up to chapter number 1 and you'll begin to study the book of Galatians, you'll find from the very first chapter what Paul does is Paul has to go back and write these letters over and over and over again, simply because these people have taken the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in which they were saved, and my friend, they have reverted. Are you following me? They have reverted back to under the religion under the law and the Judaizers and those that preach righteousness and those that preach salvation under the law. Now listen to me. Paul has delivered them the best news of their life. Can I get a witness? What's the best news of their life? Same that's the best news of your life, that there was a man named Jesus who was born of a virgin who lived 33 and a half years of perfection. I mean, he was tempted in all points just like me and you are, yet without sin. He died on an old rugged cross that he did not deserve. They put him in a borrowed tomb, and on that third and appointed day, he got up. I need a little help. He got up from the grave by his own power. Now listen to me this morning. Paul has preached this same gospel to the church of Galatia. And soon as Paul turns his back and walks down the street, the Judaizers creep in, the heretics and the false prophets that my friend tell these people, well, it ain't just enough to call upon Jesus, but we're going back to the law of Moses, and we're going to go back and submit ourselves unto work salvation. And here's the deal, friend. Paul's hurt by this. Paul's aggravated. Paul's harmed. Paul's let down. Can I get a witness this morning? I mean, Paul has every opportunity to rip the face off these people, but you know what Paul does? He loves them. Oh, me, oh, my. He loves these people even though they chose the wrong path. Right. Now, I'm going to liken this not to you choosing a false doctrine or somebody going out of a doctrinal into a doctrinal error, but how many people are here this morning that you are connected to somebody who at one time seem to love you just as much as you love them, but because of their choices, can I get a witness? And because of the lifestyle they have chosen to live, because of this, that, or another, they have willfully chosen to take the wrong path. Can I tell you what we ought to be very careful of this morning? And that is simply this. May God help us to never love people as long as those people are doing what we want them to do. Amen. Can I say, if that's your definition of true love, you ain't going to love nobody. I hope that I can please you, but it's not my job. I know God's not called me to be a people pleaser, but in the same breath, I need a little help right here. You want people to approve. You want people to like you. You want people to love you. You want people to think, man, my preacher's a good preacher. My pastor's a good pastor. Yeah, I mean, that's not what I'm going to give an account for, but I'd like to know that. I'd like to be able to say, well, I've done all I can do to make sure these... But listen to me. If you're going to love me the way the Bible says to love me, and I'm going to love you the way the Bible says to love you, then we must do so even when we fail one another. Amen. We're living in an hour, and it's always been an issue. I can go back all the way to the beginning of the Bible, all the way to Revelation, but I've noticed over the last several years, it seems like good, independent, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled, King James only, old-time, hymn-read back, hymn-book singing churches have adopted some kind of mentality that for those that get on the wrong way, or those that take the wrong path, or those that get in a mess, or those that on purpose turn against everything they've been taught, then all of a sudden that person is our enemy. And oh, we're gonna make sure they know how wrong they are. And we're going to make sure that... Now listen to me. If they're really saved, they know they're wrong. Can I get some help? I mean, listen, I know that sometimes people need reminded. But listen to me. Don't live your life trying to tell people what the Holy Ghost has already told them. Did you know it's not our job, it's not my job, and it's not your job to bring up everything everybody's done, hold it against them, kick them out, run them over, spit in their face, talk about them, run them down. You know what God's told us to do? Love one another. Amen. That's so easy to preach. But listen to me. If somebody's really done you wrong, that's hard to live. I ain't talking about having an argument over who parked in your parking spot. Is everybody listening? I'm talking about somebody doing something that really hurts you. Somebody's doing or saying something that really hurts your church. Somebody doing or saying something that really hurts your family or your feelings. I'm talking about you really did not deserve in your mind to go through what they have caused you, what they have created. But can I say, here's what we're supposed to do nonetheless, as according to the Word of God and what the great Apostle Paul shows us, we are to love people even when they choose the wrong path. This church of Galatia, they've been taught better than to be a bunch of Judaizer, Mosaical law keepers. Right. And they've been delivered, Brother Seth, from the bondage. By the way, that's all the law does, is bring bondage and condemnation. And nobody ever been saved by the law. Nobody's ever been converted by the law. The law does nothing but condemn us. Amen. Bible said if you break one, you're guilty in all. So let's just go over the 10 that God gave Moses on the mountain, all right? Thou shalt know the gods before me. Thou shalt not make the engraven image. Thou shalt not take the Lord, name of the Lord thy God in vain. I dare say ain't nobody here not done that one. We don't have to go no further. Let's just stop there. You know what the Bible says? If you broke one, you're guilty of all. That means we're all condemned. That's what the law does. But Jesus came and fulfilled the law, not that we would receive condemnation, but that we could be converted. We'll get it lined out. So we can be converted by the good grace of God. Amen. Deke, what we need to do is you need to drop that preamp down to about 20 and give me a little more volume to make up the difference. It's the preamps, we're doing that. Brother Jesse has, I'm pretty smart now. he'll go back and listen to this on podcast and say that was the exact opposite of what you should have done right there. But anyways, feel good about it. Talk about Paul loving people. And not just people, but people that have willfully... Any of y'all got people that mean a whole lot to you this morning and they are just doing their own thing? Amen. Yes. And they know better. That's
I'm not talking about people that don't know, people that's ignorant, which simply means unlearned. That's not a name call, by the way. That's biblical. But to be ignorant is simply to be unlearned. I mean, look here. Lord have mercy. Being a pastor, I have had to learn this, and hear me. I am still learning. Still learning this. But I can tell y'all something. By the grace of God, if you're here and you've been with me for 8 years, you can't lie. I have learned a lot. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about something. When I first started, I thought, bless God, the new sheriff's in town. I mean, these people, I ain't going to get up and preach my guts out and then walk right out these doors and do what they want. Bless God, they ain't never down, blah, 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 blah. And you know what I done? I caused a whole lot of trouble. You know what a real pastor does? He instructs the sheep. He warns the sheep. If you cross that boundary, there are wolves on the other side. But that pastor ought to give the same liberty that the Lord gives in allowing the people to make their own choice. And then once they make the choice, whether right or wrong, it is then the responsibility of the shepherd or the under-shepherd to the shepherd to treat the flock of God like the shepherd said to treat them.
Right.
What does that mean? That means when they do wrong on purpose, a shepherd that really loves his sheep, even though he's trained them, listen to me. You know what, a sheep? Sheep are if not the dumbest animal on the planet. Do you know that?
Yeah.
And y'all had sheep or goats even. They're in the same family. I know a fella, there's a goat in here by the name of Kevin. He's become pretty popular. Brother Shelby's got a goat named Kevin. He's the church mascot. Can I get a witness? Brother Jimmy. Y'all remember Brother Jimmy in the sailor? Oh, Brother Jimmy one time decided he was going to raise a bunch of goats. And every time I'd go to that man's house, he'd be out there throwing one of them or cleaning one of them its remains up. He said, I've done the thing I know to do. He said, this doesn't hang yourself. He said, they'll climb up, stick their head through the little hole this big in the fence and jump. We're done. And he said, it makes no difference. He said, I can put up everything but concrete to chew through it. I mean, and you know what a fence is made to do? It's made not only to keep that sheep in, but it's made to keep critters out.
Yes, sir.
Predators out. It's made sheep stay in these perimeters, and here's where you're going to get your food. Here's where you're going to get your water. Here's where you've got a little shack that you can crawl under when the sun's up and it's hot. You can get some shade. This is for your protection. This is for your prospering. This is to help you. And the only thing that dumb old sheep seems to want to do is get out. Well, what's out there waiting on that sheep? 18 wheelers. Come on, somebody. Neighbors who don't like goats. Or sheep. Coyotes and bobcats and black bears and stray dogs and mean little house cats. There's no good thing outside of those four walls, if you will. And the shepherd does everything he can do to keep in. But you know what happens? The sheep gets out. He don't go out there and say, well, stupid thing's hot the fence again. I'm going to let it die. Oh, no, he's got too much invested. I wish to God somebody would help me.
Yeah,
right. Well, I told you I ain't going to get past the introduction because I'm about to tear something up and throw stuff and run outside and kick the car and come back and start over again. That shepherd, he walks up the pen and there's a whole trough full of feed. And there's a whole big water hole full of water, and the shed's been built. That porch of grace, like over at the layman, had five porches where they could crawl in and get out of the weather and be safe and protected. I mean, they got protection, they got provision, they got a perimeter. Somebody write all this down because it's coming to me now. They got all these things. Shepherd walks out. They're gone. You know what he does? He starts walking down the road.
Right.
Kevin! gets on Facebook. My goat Kevin is missing. If anybody sees him, he's about 3.5 foot tall. He's got a big ugly beard and horns and hooves. Pretty good description. It smells like a bill goat. Sounds just like some of y'all. I swear it does. A mangy beard, big old hooves for toenails, you smell like a bill goat. Can I get a witness? I'd like, if anybody sees Kevin, let me know. 2 days go by, you're driving down the road, headed down to the Amish store to get a ham sandwich. And you look down in the field, and there's Kevin with somebody's llamas. And by this time, Kevin's done made his mind up, I'm no longer a goat, I am a llama. You stopped me wrong, so that burnout looks just like that. Kevin! Turn around. Bam! That's sure enough Kevin. Go up, knock on the door. Yes, sir. Can I help you? Yes, sir. I hate to bother you and your beautiful llama farm, but you see that goat out there? Yeah, that stupid thing. He said, I've tried to run it out of here. Follow me. When it gets to the place it ain't supposed to be, it won't want to leave.
Right.
But it's when it's in the place it's supposed to be, you can't get it stuck.
Oh,
hey. Poor John's going to kick a pig. I can't get that stupid thing. It thinks it's a llama. I mean, I've tried everything in the world to get that thing to leave. It's just hooked up residence here. I've been calling it stupid. Well, its real name's Kevin, but I call it a lot worse than stupid when he acts like this. But nonetheless, he's chewed my fence down. He's dug a hole out from under it. I've had to center block and concrete that thing in. I've had to make the fence higher. I've had to build the shed bigger. I've had to take the water trough bigger. I've had to spend more money. But nonetheless, sir, if you let me, I'd like to walk down through the middle of your llama farm and grab my old Billy Goat's in heaven and take him back to house. God looks down and says, nah, that is mine.
Yep.
And I love you. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to love people.
Right.
Amen. Even when they deliberately choose the wrong path.
Yes.
I've learned this. I'm learning it, but I've learned it. This mentality of, well, let's let them get up there and get what they deserve. That don't work real well with God.
No,
by the way, He's the one that's responsible over the reaping and sowing business.
Right.
We try to make people reap what they've sown.
Yeah.
That ain't our job.
Yeah.
See, we're playing Holy Ghost again.
Right.
But we're not the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You know what I am? Bad. You know what you are? Some of y'all bad too much, but that's what you are. I'm a sheep, and you're a sheep. And He's our shepherd.
Right.
You know what Paul writes in verse number 19? Chapter 4, verse 19. You know what he writes this? He says it, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Can anybody tell me what the birth process is like? Some of you moms have had babies. I would dare say it's pretty miserable. You know what Paul says? Not only have I travailed in birth for you, my little children, but I've done it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, bless God, I've helped them all. I'm helping them. I'm done. Been there. Guilty. Y'all look at me bad if you want to, but you're guilty too.
Yes, sir.
I put up with it more than I should have. I'm done. I ain't letting them do me this way no more. That ain't what Paul does.
Right, right.
He said, my little children, the same ones who I preached the gospel and watched you get radically born again, now you're a Judaizer. baptizer. I turned my back around. You went back to the Mosaic law. But my little children, I've travailed. I've been pained. I've been tested. I've had to do, put up with a lot. To let, just to love you, it's been a price to pay. But I'm going to pay it again.
Amen. Yes.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. You better be careful.
Right.
Yeah. Let me ask y'all something. How many times you went to the Lord because you messed up and asked Him to forgive you, and He said, no.
Man,
not ever
one time.
You reckon anybody's ever going to do you as bad as you've done the Lord?
No, sir.
How many times am I supposed to give Him? 70 times 7?
Yeah. Right.
Simply means over and over and over and over. Well, it just makes it hard. It's my child. It's my husband. It's my best friend. It's my brother. It's my sister. I just can't take no more. Been there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what the Lord Paul said? He teaches how to love people even when they deliberately choose the wrong path.
Yeah.
He says this. My little children, I travailed in birth for you again. Over and over. How are you going to love those who come in such a way they seem unlovable? I'm going to tell you a good starting place is to look in the mirror and look at Jesus. Deke, that's a real place to start. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm guilty as you are. But I'm trying to do better, and I'm trying to learn from my previous mistakes. And I fall. And I mess up. I get aggravated. I'd call my sister.
I took Jesse back to West Virginia on Thursday. Really about 6 hours one way, traffic and all. Got up there, dropped him off, and I ended up staying about an hour. He didn't want to do that, but he wanted to show me where he's at and meet man and try two or three different things. And I went home and I thought, man, this last time when my sister came out of the hospital, I got ticked off.
Yeah.
Okay? And you can look at me or whatever you put. And I told her, I'm done having stuff. I said, but you know, I see what's going on in her life and all the Lord's doing. And I have so much Bible to back it up that it's God doing things to grab her attention. This is not a coincidence. Okay? One out of every 3 to 4 million people have this. That's it. It's not a coincidence. The timing on everything is not a chance. It's the Lord. And she still right now in my presence still may not believe that, but it is.
Yeah.
Now I'm telling her the truth, just like Paul told this church in Galatians. And so mom, dad been up there, ain't got no pay, lost pay, you know, all these things. And 2 or 3 weeks went by and they just sown, cried, prayed, sown, been there, loved her, despite all the mess. And so she come home. I felt like she just kind of didn't appreciate any of it. Went right back where she shouldn't be. And I'm going to tell you what that made. It made me mad. And I preach all this and I get on y'all for acting stupid and being immature. But you know what I done? I went and deleted her. I'm going to prove my point. But I didn't just delete her. I blocked her. That's what I'm done. So I'm sick of watching my mama cry herself to sleep over you. I'm sick of watching God spare your life for you to run back down out of that mess. I got mad. What do you mean? I said, I don't ever want to see you again. That means, what am I supposed to do about church? I said, don't come back. Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm mad.
Yes.
Driving down the Lord, we're driving down the road, and the Lord said, I need to talk to you. About what? He said, your sister. I said, you don't know how I feel. He said, I ain't worried about how you feel. I want you to think about how I feel. But called her, I said, I ain't heard from you. He said, nope. You're going to be child enough to block me and tell me never be back. I'm going to be child enough to let you. I said, I can't do that. Hell, I want you to know I ain't trying to get excuses, but I love you. And I said, I just want you to consider maybe if the tables were turned and I was in your situation, you were in mine, and you were watching your parents die on the inside because of something I had control over. Yep. Would it not make you mad or angry?
No.
Sure. I said, but nonetheless, I do love you.
Yeah.
How do you say that? Because that's how he feels about me.
Yes,
man.
Yes.
I'm not talking about condoning sin. You ready? I'm going to stand till hell is on earth against sin and wrong. But even when these Galatians willfully chose the wrong path, Paul says, all right, sign me up. I'm willing to go through the birthing process.
Yeah.
And anybody that's had childbirth and you've been in labor, you know that's not something you just long for. But boy, the product of such pain is so precious.
Yes,
so what if I quit laboring? Now give up in the middle of that travail. I may never see that finished product.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Good.
Even though I don't want to. But if I say, all right, Lord, I'm going to love these people. I'm going to love that person. Even though they have willfully chose to take the wrong path. I'm going to go through more pain. I'm going to get tired. You know what? You get wore out childbirth, don't you, ladies?
Yeah.
It's painful. It's perplexing. It's tiring. It takes its toll. You bear scars and you hold on to things. Everything about you changes, and it's not necessarily for the good.
Yeah.
But can I ask any mama in here, would any mama in here go back and get out of the pain when you look at that product or that little precious promise? You know the promise of the pain, don't you? It's that little precious baby. When you feel like you can't get up and go another day, you know you got to, because that little precious promise is requiring you to push through the pain. And then nurses are telling you, you've got to push! You've got to push the thing. Dear God, I can't push no more! Been there. In the ministry. Come on, breathe. You gotta put, how you know, I've had 25 kids, y'all. I know how it works. All right, Amy. Come on. All right, push. Up, push. All right, you're good. Take a breath. Hey, watch that monitor. Up, here comes another contraction. You know when you, my God, I'm getting filled up. You know when they're supposed to push? When the pain's the worst.
Yep. Yeah.
Not in the middle of that contraction. All right, a contraction's coming. Here it comes. All right, you ready? Take a deep breath and here we go. Push. Keep pushing. Okay, take a breath. Here it comes. Okay, here comes another contraction. That means that's the worst pain of the process. That's when you push the hardest. You know what Paul's telling them? Y'all hurt me over and over and over and over again. And this one seems almost unbearable. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to push one more time. Some of y'all have people you love. You need to come as close to giving up on, but you can't. Can't do it.
The people ain't been in this church in a long time. Guess what? I give up on it.
Right.
I'm calling people's names that wish they didn't even know mine. Why? Because I know the possibility. Got a little precious promise.
Yeah.
It'll be worth all the pain. It'll be worth all the pushing. It'll be worth all the perplexing moments when that new life is born. When that old Kevin, the goat, decides he's going to come back and stay in the pen this time. I heard what she was preaching last morning. Man, all I thought about is how goatish you seem. It's hard, but it's worth it. I want to slap somebody. I don't know why I want to do that when I get happy, but it makes me feel better. I've been thinking about folks. Right middle or something. The problem's going to work.
Yes. Yes.
You've got to keep loving. You got to keep loving me. I've got to keep loving you. Legit, we, I keep loving you.
Right. Amen.
Now, Bob?
No. I
hope that you're fixing not run off again down the road. So, Lord, you're rude to me, not my business. But I want you to look behind you, such a faithful wife. Right down the road is a faithful daughter. Faithful daughter. Faithful daughter. Now look here. It encouraged me so much. Wednesday night was such a blessing. I was hoping it really took. Came home last night late. I'd been to church all evening. Master said, Dad, guess what? I said, what, honey? She said, Riley got right with God. I said, I know, I was there. She said, but she told me.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah.
Out of all things she could have said, she decided to come up. And you know what? I'm not trying to embarrass you or rebuke you. It might seem like it. But down there at Dorsey's camp, seemed like she hated the whole world.
Yeah.
Didn't want to be there.
Right.
Heard every day how miserable they were. They wanted to come home. But you know what she said after she told her, I got right with the Lord? She said, and guess what? I've been doing what Brother John said.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
How'd that happen?
Amen.
You know how he said, no Bible, no breakfast? In other words, don't eat breakfast if you've not spent time in your Bible. And I may have this wrong, but I think you told me that Madison said, I'm going to do no Bible, no phone.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
Amen. I thought y'all be a little happier about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do no Bible, no phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before I get on my phone, I'm getting in my Bible.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to tell you that, Brother Bob, it's working out good for you.
Amen.
Just staying faithful and paying the price.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
That's good.
We got a wedding in the making.
Yes.
And they're really, I wish they wasn't putting it off so far, September. That's been some travailing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Been some pain, brother. Look at them little kids and thinking, hey, you're never going to have a home life.
Yes.
Look up in here. Mama, Papa, ain't. Thank God for those who step in and fill the void, but they ain't supposed to raise babies.
Right.
Right. Amen. Amen right there. Yeah. I'm not against you, and if that's how you raise, you all thank God for it.
That's right.
But that's not the way God
ordained
it. And I know it's been many years, and I was 16 years old, but I told Mama, you might like this, when them two get married, you need to go to them.
Right.
Is that something you never had? You may not only have it, but 2 or 3 years. But you thank God you're going to have a Christian home.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yes.
That's good preaching, son.
And you enjoy every moment of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is one of them deals I didn't. I'm just going to be honest. Any of y'all ever look at things and say, I don't know. Any of y'all ever see old Kevin and think that stupid thing ain't never going to quit breaking out of this pen?
Yeah.
But one day he decides, I'm tired of eating wire. I'm tired of heading butt to ground and digging a hole so I can crawl out of here. I've got it pretty. It clicks in Kevin. I've got it pretty good.
Young man.
I always want to go out there, but I'm dodging cars and I'm dodging coal traps and I'm running from coyotes and I'm having to kick Billy Goat flat. Billy Goat needs to kick house cats. I mean, I've got it pretty good down here at the farm. It clicks. Some of y'all, I'm thinking, I mean, God, they ain't never. I'm looking at some of y'all.
Yep, thank you, Lord.
It took a long time.
Yeah. Thank you,
Lord. I wish to God somebody just cry or hold hands or hug or shout or do something. It took a long time.
Amen.
It's been a long time coming. Let me ask you, would you go back and trade all that pain and lose this promise? Would you undo all that pain y'all been through, Brother Bob? Having to raise them babies. They drove you nuts. You want to discipline, but you can't because your papa and your mama and that's the way it works. And so you just get fed up and say, Brother, quit! And she acts like nuts. Crazy Kevin the Billy Goat. She can't do nothing with him all them years, so she goes outside and headbutts a poach. But now look.
Thank you, Lord.
What God
yes.
is fixing to do.
Yes, thank you.
So would you go back and say, all that pain was not worth this product?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. You know what God's told me? It's going to be hard.
Yes.
Going to be times of travail. And when it's the most painful is when you push the hardest. One of these days, if God don't come back, Brother Carlos, I'm going to be old and gray-headed. And the things that I'm looking out and hoping for and desiring that I think they ain't never going to happen to me. God said, you just keep loving people. Even the ones who take the wrong path. One of these days, the product, the promise, is going to outweigh all the pain.
Yes, yes.
Now I'm going to sit back. If God don't come get us, I'm going to sit back as about a 65, 75, 80-year-old man. And I'm going to take a seat. And somebody else is going to walk in that hopefully I've trained and taught.
Yep.
They're going to stand. I'm just going to get to sit back and enjoy the prize.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And he's going to think, man, this ain't that bad. But what he ain't going to know, a little whippersnapper wet behind the ears, what he ain't going to know is I can enjoy it on a fashion he can't because I have travailed all those years.
Amen.
And I went through the pain. And I went through and paid the price. And I pushed through when it was the hardest. And I'll be looking at the product, the promise. You and others that's coming up, they're going to benefit from it. But look here. We're looking at the core. We're looking at the groundwork. We're looking at the root system.
Yeah.
We're all going to grow old together when this thing pops. And you better know it's going to pop one of these days for the good. We're going to sit back and say, hey, Caleb, you remember when you was in your mid-20s? You had to sacrificially give all that money? Brother Shelby, you remember back in the day when the church didn't have enough money, you had to pay for every one of them motel rooms for Paul Fellowship. Remember how hard it was? But now look what the Lord has done. So is it worth it to you? Pay the price and love people even when they go down the wrong path and endure the pain. for what the promise is down the road and what the product will be. Paul said, look, I've done it a bunch. Just an introduction. Well, I don't know where to get no further. I'm glad. Looking back over my life, all I put him through and the pain he endured for me.
Yeah.
And I'm nothing and nobody, but you got to understand something. In his eyes, I'm perfect, because when he sees me, he sees his son.
Yeah.
And here I am this morning preaching. I wonder at 18, and I about blew it all. And I hurt the heart of our Savior. I wonder if he'd have just said, well, he's done it for the final time. I'm done with him. Then there wouldn't be a day preaching to a bunch of miracles. You all with me?
Yeah.
This ain't supposed to be.
No, alright.
You're supposed to still be wild and crazy.
Yes, sir.
You're supposed to be in prison or in the graveyard somewhere or in hell. But Mickey, it's untelling where you'd be had God not loved you through all the pain you caused him. But he kept loving you.
Yes, sir.
Amen, Lord.
That family back there means so much to me.
Yeah.
They don't even know. They really don't. Do you know how big of a highlight it is for me?
Yeah.
See y'all walk through them doors? With your family, you could go anywhere. But you come here.
Thank you, Lord.
I got a picture of me and Carlos when they was leading the youth at Saxton wearing bright, ugly neon yellow shirts that say Jesus Saves, and we're at King's Island. I was about 192,000 pounds lighter. Saved under his preaching at one point. But the youth leader. How everything, even through it, look, I know it ain't been all good, man. No, I went down detours, and you went down detours, but he's never stopped loving neither one of us.
Amen.
Glory to God, not one time as he said, it's too much. I'm done.
Amen.
He's loved us both.
Thank you, Lord.
Even when we willfully chose the wrong path. He said, you know what? It's painful. But I'm going to keep pushing.
Yeah.
How'd this come about? The Lord?
Yes,
no, an honor it is for me. Preach to them.
Right.
Everywhere I look, all I see is Jesus.
Oh, yes. Amen. Yeah,
so I'll see. Ain't nobody could have done all this but him.
Right.
He's never quit loving us. How about we don't quit loving one another?
Yes.
We're going to come back tonight. It's just too much for one second. It might be too much for two. It may be too much for three. We may be on a buffet for a while. But I'm here to tell you that it's worth loving people.
Yeah. Yes.
Even when they knowingly, willfully choose the wrong path. Let's all stand. Father, we love you. Now, Lord, you have been more than good to us. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that we would take the time to spend thanksgiving and gratitude for all you've done. You've loved the unlovable and you've never give up on us, Lord. May we love people the same way, please. Bless the invitation, move as only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some have already came. I believe that there's a whole bunch probably need to come. Won't you come this morning? Won't you come?